I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. I am joined now by the pianist Pablo Ziegler. He is one of the world's most celebrated musicians. His performances fusing tango and jazz are huge hits wherever he performs. He'll be in Vancouver Saturday the 16th of February 2013 at the Chan Center for the Performing Arts. He'll be joined by the violinist and MacArthur genius Regina Carter. For information and tickets on the show, visit chancenter.com. Pablo Ziegler was last in Vancouver when he was on stage as part of the Astor Piazzolla Quintet. The Piazzolla group was transformative in the world of music, taking tango music and realizing it as its own musical form and not just dance accompaniment. Ziegler has taken the form and, with jazz, has created an exciting sound all of his own. And for his efforts, he has won a Grammy. I'll ask Mr. Ziegler about his music, his career, and more. The concert in Vancouver on February 16th is not part of a tour, so it's a special event and one not to miss. Also, there's an artist talk on Friday, the 15th of February, 2013, at the Roy Barnett Recital Hall at the University of British Columbia, moderated by Linda Lee Thomas. The website for more is at pabloziegler.com. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program in New York City, Pablo Ziegler. Mr. Ziegler, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Yourself? Now, you've worked with Regina Carter before, is that right?
Yeah. We was playing before.
Yeah.
Many times. Regina became one of the fans of this music. It's kind of new tango or jazz tango music.
Yeah. And so, what's she like to work with? Is it the relationship that you have with her? I mean, is it like a teacher and a student, or is it like colleagues, say?
We are, of course, colleagues, but she was very interested in to learn the way to play this music. No? She was very attracted about this kind of tango jazz music, or jazz tango music. She's an incredible jazz musician.
Yeah.
She has some kind of, she has a beautiful blend with us, playing with us, no? From the very first time that happened more than 2 years ago.
Yeah.
First time that we played with her was in Jazz Standard, in the jazz club here in New York. And it was a mutual surprise, each other, no? I mean, the way we enjoy to play together.
You know? Yeah. And so how much of the program on the 16th here in Vancouver with Regina is improvised?
My composition are like a formal composition. Mm-hmm. I use a lot of classical skills and tango skills to compose my music, but I preserve always the space for improvisation. And of course, each one of my musicians, even my guests, they have the permission that to be totally free to add or to play over or to improvise, and then some section that they feel that they have to do that. This, improvisation in new tango star. We can say that when I was playing with Astor Piazzolla since 1968 to 1988, that moment was Piazzolla was looking for someone that can improvise over his music, his composition. And it was for me it was like Astor Piazzolla University.
Yeah.
And then he was a very good master or teacher in that way for me to transform my improvisation skills from jazz to tango, phrasing tango, not jazz phrases. But in the case of Regina, she's improvising. She has an incredible style. Mixed it with kind of blue tone, you know, which is beautiful, and she's incredible. She's absorbing this way to improvise and this music. Huh?
Yeah. Now the fusion of jazz and tango. When that initially happened, I guess Pizzola, he was the first, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, the initial reaction to that was what?
He was the first in the way to compose, in the way to use more jazz harmonies or some kind of not jazz rhythm, but you can say there's a lot of compositions that I probably the day that I have the talk before the concert,
yeah,
I could explain a lot of these tools that Piazzolla was using where he was composing his music. Since 1978, from the second Piazzolla Quintet, the same as that he was playing in Vancouver with him, I had the permission of the he has been doing improvise over his music. And finally, in the last compositions, in the last time that he was composing for that group, and you can say in the last 4 years before he suffered that kind of heart surgery and everything.
Yeah.
The very first time in the piano parts or the music part, you can say that you can really read the word improvise, improvising, you know, with just the changes, which is from, that was a very, very, very big change. And that was my starting point to also with my music. And I was writing in that way since I created my first group to now.
Yeah. And so I guess when it first started, when the sound sort of started, when it evolved, there were people in say the tango world that didn't like it, and there were people in the jazz world who sort of looked down on it. Is that right?
No, of course. For me, Astor Piazzolla, he was doing the incredible music, and the right music in the wrong country.
Really?
On the wrong place of the country. No?
Yeah.
Because probably it's like when it started with Bob here, no?
Uh-huh.
With some kind of resistance in between the traditional or more conservative jazz musician, no? When Piazzolla appeared as a composer and as a leader of these new tango groups, all the traditional band leader. They was composing for dancers, music for dance, tango for dance, no? Singing, with everything. But Piazzolla was the very first one that moved this music from the dance floor to the concert stage. No?
And so in terms of your own journey as a musician, I read somewhere that you started playing music at the age of 3, is that correct?
Yeah, I was. Yes, by ears now.
Yeah.
At that moment, my mom, she decided to send me to a music conservatory, but I was, in that moment, I was a little, too young, you know, they say, no, this is too young.
Yeah.
I was waiting for more than 1 year, 1 year and a half, and finally they had one of the branches of the music, Borussia Music Conservatory, in my neighborhood, they accepted me. And I was in the music conservatory for 10 years, no? Since we can say my age of 5 to 15, at the age of 15, I got my degree as a music professor.
Yeah. Now, was it always fun for you, even growing up? I mean, we hear of kids today going to piano lessons and hating it. Did you enjoy your time in the conservatory?
Yes, especially because My mother was very, very, she was taking care that I preserve the time to study, you know, piano. And then my friend was walking around and my mother said, hey, get out, father has to practice.
Yeah.
And she was in charge for that.
Yeah.
I was so young. But I was always enjoying to learn all my piano lessons, no? And I remember that I was from seeing the I was pretty young. Also, my father, you know, my father, he was a when he was young, he was playing violin. He was playing tango, and he teach me my first we can say tango standards.
Mm-hmm.
And my professor and that said, no, you have to play classical music. She goes, they are very, very conservative, you know, the classic conservatives are so conservative.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, especially in the country. I was playing tango for my friends since I was a kid. But never I play in the professional way until I started with Piazzolla. No? I told him, hey, I never play that. He said, "No, this is." But I know that you have to have your the tango music in your blood because you was growing up in Buenos Aires. No?
Yeah,
Buenos Aires is a tango city, we can say. No?
So
it's like jazz here. No?
Yeah. So I'm assuming that that people in Buenos Aires in Argentina. I mean, does everyone dance the tango?
Yeah. It's a big now it's our biggest, we can say, explosion, you know, and all over the world. There's a lot of tango dancers and tango ballrooms, tango festivals, tango dance festivals, all over the world, you know?
Yeah.
From Buenos Aires to Japan, you can say. It's Europe here, also New York is incredible. I don't know, Vancouver, probably. There's a lot of tango dance ballroom or clubs or whatever, no?
Yeah, it's popular here, yeah.
It's very, I mean, especially the dance, because I remember since in the middle of 1980s, started this kind of tango dance revolution all over the world, no?
Yeah. Now, in reading up on you and sort of your style as a musician, the piano playing, I've read that it's been compared to Horowitz and Bill Evans. Well,
too much.
So
I don't know how to say that. No, because I have a big sound on the piano. Because playing with Piazzolla, I have to play the piano, the percussion. Like a piano drummer, no?
Yeah.
Because we never use drums. We did a percussion with all the instruments. Each instrument has a collection of different noises to play in before the music. I learned from that way. But when I started with my own groups, I started with my first quartet with drums because my jazz skills, it was experimental. By now I don't have drums. It's incredible. No? I changed my head again. But I like to have a percussionist or a drummer or whatever.
Yeah. So who did you grow up admiring as a musician, as a piano player, as a pianist?
The very first time I was admiring the classical piano player, you know, maybe in Argentina the locals one, like Marta Felic, you know, for example. I discovered at my age of 15 that jazz music, and I started to, and I joined some jazz musician, to introduce me to Duke Ellington, not LB, the 75, the old one on the bass disc. And I started to admire also Jerry Van Morton, since Jerry Van Morton to now to Bill Evans, Keith Jarrett, all the big ones.
Yeah,
but I was learning about each piano player, just playing a piano player, especially at that time. You know, that I started to play jazz with different jazz bands there. And I was enjoying a lot this kind of the freedom to improvise. You know, that this was one of my targets. You know.
When you're not performing, do you listen to music? And is it your kind of music, say like jazz or tango, or is it all kinds of music?
No, I prefer to play my music, but my 15 years old, when I started with it, I can play jazz, I play jazz. But probably now if I'm going to play some kind of jazz, blues, or whatever, my phrasing is going to be more close to the tango phrasing than the jazz phrasing. No?
Yeah.
Because that's what was one of my, I tried to develop my style in that way, you know. And now I'm using, for example, the traditional jazz tango standards. We have a wonderful melodies from the past, from the 1920s, like jazz. No?
Yeah.
Wonderful, beautiful, that I use like those tunes, like a standard. I play in a different way, not different way, but using more jazz harmonies, improvising with the tune, like jazz, no?
Yeah.
But trying to preserve it. I try to preserve our group, our phrasing, no? That is the way to preserve. I believe I'm a strongly believer for that, no? To preserve that kind of root, like jazz, no?
Right. Well, what do you listen to, though, in your spare time? Or do you listen to other music?
Mostly I'm listening classical music.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes I'm jazz players, especially piano players, or some, as you can say, Jarrett, Bill Evans, Dave Holland.
Yeah.
I like the Dave Holland Quintet.
Yeah.
I was composing. So, one of my musicians some years ago, Pablo Solán, he was playing bass with me here. You are using some way to use a lot of different, combine different rhythms, like just they honest do it. Are you right? I was taking that, yes. Yes, I was very, not doing nothing, but using the same way. But that's what I encourage us when she's here. Say, but okay, country for jazz. But for me, jazz music is a big influence, and classical music too.
Yeah.
Especially contemporary or music. I'm a lyric composer, I like a lot of American composers, from Gershwin to Martin to Samuel Barber, John Adams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you live in New York full time, is that right?
I live full time. Yeah.
Yeah. How often do you get back to?
In the past, I live here since from 14 years ago to now. In the very beginning, those first years, I was back and forth in between Argentina, Buenos Aires, and New York. But the last 6 or 8 years, I decided to live. Permanently here.
No? Yeah.
And so now I just visit Buenos Aires twice a year.
Right. But it's a great place on New York for music, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's, you can find a lot, the whole world is here.
Yeah.
It's incredible. No? All the communities. The variety of communities here, the variety of music is incredible.
Now, when you're performing, I guess showtime is what, 8 p.m., what do you do during the day? Do you do a lot of preparation, or is it just relaxing before the curtain goes up?
No, usually the concert day, I have a kind of rehearsal with my musician, a couple of hour rehearsal, to play the most important tunes that we are going to play at the night. We have to rehearse with Regina Catholic also that day,
yeah.
A couple of hours. She knows very well my music, but we always, we are doing this kind of rehearsal on the concert day.
Yeah. And then
after that, relax.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then so after the show, I mean, do you head straight to bed, or I mean, you must have.
No, after the show, usually we have a post concert reception or dinner or whatever. No?
Yeah.
We prefer to have a dinner after concert.
I see, yeah. And when
before
you're...
Before concert, many institutions, or sometimes some towns that, excuse me, I say, you know, after 10, no one is, there's no restaurant over. No, I know, but for us to take a dinner before concert, for me, is not good. No?
Yeah.
I need all my blood and my brain. Not
that
my stomach.
Yeah.
digest, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's one of the reasons.
Yeah. Now, for you performing, I mean, that's still a thrill. I mean, is it still fun for you?
Yes, of course. Each concert is a new opportunity, you know, to hear, or to do something different. Especially with improvisation, eh? Because improvisation. I know that for each one of my musicians, it happens at the same time. You know, that they are expecting to. I am expecting to really enjoy the concert. You know?
Yeah, and what's the most fun for you now? I mean, is that when the shows? Finished, or when you're taking your bow, say, or is it when the music's really good and your colleagues on stage are all speaking, say, the sort of same language?
Yeah, no, I enjoy in the concert from the very beginning, you know, from the first note. That first note is like to open the door to start to enjoy the music or the musician or, you know. Like a conversation for a couple of hours,
and that's also the audience too, right?
Yeah, and try to make happy the audience too. No?
Yeah,
try to communicate something to them.
No? You've traveled around the world with your shows, and you've encountered a lot of audiences. Does the show change, say, if you're in a different part of the world, like if you're in Japan maybe, or in Vancouver or in New York? Is there a different audience in every city?
Yes, there's different audience, but I know that what tunes are going to work in one side of the planet, and what tune are going to work better in the other side of the planet. Depends. Japan, they were very conservative in the past, you know, with the tango music.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of tango in Japan. You know? Japan was accepting tango from the Second World War, no?
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of the 1940s. And there's a lot of tango musicians also there. I was playing with some Japanese musicians. They are very good. They are got very good skill about performance. No?
Yeah.
But they are a little more conservative than here or in Europe. No?
Pablo, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you today, and I urge people to go see the show on Saturday, the 16th of February. I appreciate your time and all good wishes.
Thank you, Joe.
Visit chancenter.com for information on the show. It's Saturday, the 16th of February, 2013, at the Chan Center for the Performing Arts here in Vancouver. The website for more, pabloziegler.com. Pablo Ziegler joined me on the line from New York City in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.